Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
Tonight we are coming to you from the studios of WKGC-FM high atop the Charles Hilton Center for Advanced Technology and Hospitality Management at Gulf Coast State College in Panama City, Florida. I'm sorry. We have to do video next time we do this. So you can see, in particular, Tom Hoots, who is riding shotgun with us. He is our Florida executive producer.
He's not a night guy, so you have to forgive him. He's taking short naps.
Yep. So, if you can imagine,
I'm posting a picture.
Sort of Crocodile Dundee.
Passed out.
Yeah.
Also manning the controls across from us is Becca Stark, who rushed over from the TV station that she works at to, after she wrapped up the 10 o'clock news at 10:30, she came over here to the college to assist us. And then back in Chicago, it's Julian. Hey, Julian.
Howdy, howdy.
How are you doing tonight? You're just checking to see how you're doing?
And I believe manning the control board back in Chicago is our buddy Adam Phillips. Hey,
Woo-hoo!
Adam.
Hey, Adam. Yeah. Well.
Okay, they've gone to sleep too. All right. It's amazing the impact that Tom Hoots has on everybody.
Testing. Are we on?
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah, no, I can hear Julian.
Yes.
And I'm assuming Adam is lurking around there someplace.
And yeah, he's lurking.
When you go home tonight, you're going to get to see the northern lights as you head west of the city. Did you know that?
Me?
Yeah, there's northern.
Yeah, you.
Yeah, the northern lights are your way. They're not down here tonight. I guess there was a solar flare last night, And it zoomed across space, and it reached the Earth at some point this evening, and it's causing a geomagnetic storm. So for listeners, if you're seeing the Northern Lights, send us a text at 312-981-7200. I'm looking at some pictures that are stunning.
Well, I have a technical question.
Okay.
Speaking of geomagnetic storm, and Tom and or Adam, you may want to jump behind a microphone and answer the question. Geomagnetic storm, is that going to have potential impact on radio, television, phones, whatever?
Steve, let's assume
not very likely, no.
Oh, come on. In case things go south, we want to have an excuse.
Tom, go with the drama. We're trying to build up the anticipation.
Don't ask an engineer to go with drama. It doesn't work.
If this show doesn't fly, I'm blaming it on the geomagnetic storm, okay?
Can I go back to sleep now?
Back.
That'd be a great group name.
Now here's the geomagnetic storm.
Mm-hmm. They're a colorful group, right? Well, anyway, that's one of the things going on tonight. We observed, because we don't have a lot of white noise, light noise, especially pulling out of our driveway because all the street lights are off on our block, which is really weird because it's inky dark there. And I'm scared to death I'm going to walk out and there's going to be a bear at our garbage can. Don't look at me like that, Tom. We have bears in our neighborhood. You don't have them in your neighborhood?
Where was it? Becca, we saw it, matter of fact, on one of the news reports on MBB. Was it Walton County where they're offering garbage can locks to protect against bears?
It was either Walton or Okaloosa, if I recall correctly.
Free locks to lock down your garbage can, which makes me think if I'm a bear...
So you think we've got it easy down here.
Well, wait. If I'm a bear, I'm going to be really ticked. And I'm strong enough to pick that sucker up and just throw it across the road, stomp on it. Then they're going to have to buy... Unless they give them keys so they can unlock those locks. Get a little bite to eat, then put the lock back on. And I don't envy the garbage collectors because... I'm not sure how they unlock all of these things, but it was a big deal.
And do they have to dress in bear costumes?
Steve, stop.
I'm just trying to
cannot blame an attempted comedy on a geomagnetic storm. It won't fly.
Hey, I'm going for everything.
No, it won't fly. It is a shorter show tonight. Coming up, we haven't talked to him forever.
Patrick Christman's going to be joining us, and... One of the things that we're going to talk about with Patrick tonight, for a long time, there has been kind of a back and forth about, is Alexa listening to you, or is Alexa picking things up? Boys and girls, that's a major deal. You need to be aware of it, and Patrick is going to fill us in on the latest on that.
And, of course, sadly, every time he joins us, we have to talk about the latest hacking and how it might be affecting you. If it's a company or some way, somehow, you're going to be affected, you need to know before you get that letter that says, you better sign up for a credit check to be sure things are okay.
And that's exactly how it sounds when you do that. We've got a lot coming up tonight. Short show, but we're going to figure out a way to get a lot of things into the show. And we are here for the next 3 weeks. We'll be broadcasting from the Gulf Coast of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot more is coming up, so stay with us on WGN.
You make me wanna shout, kick my heels up and shout, throw my hands up and shout, throw my head back and shout. Come on now, don't forget to say you will. Don't forget to say yeah, 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 yeah.
Say you will.
Say it right now, baby.
Say you will.
Come on.
Okay, we will. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. And we are broadcasting tonight from the panhandle of Florida, from the studios of WKGC-FM And we will be down here for the next 3 weeks, one tonight and 2 weeks after that. That makes three.
And we want to thank you all for tuning in tonight, post-basketball. And you can get to us at 312-981-7200. We want to give a shout-out to those of you who have tuned in, like Sherry Hanrahan, who's out in Romeoville recovering from four broken ribs. She slipped on the ice back on Valentine's Day. And so life has been very challenging. She's listening with her fur babies, Lucy and Desi are also tuned in tonight. Listening, Jim G from Wisconsin. Stacy's out in Algonquin. Looks like George is listening in Elgin. He received his WGN T-shirt and his Life After Dark CD and loves it.
Good.
When did we become white trash? A favorite tune.
Oh, yeah.
We've got to play that some night, because that was a classic moment live on the radio and a great, great tune.
We were all cracking up at that.
Yes, so good. Bonnie is in Butternut, Wisconsin. Stephen, Johnny, and Julian. I'm doing a lot of traveling over the next 2 weeks. And that's our buddy. I think he is traveling to far-flung places like Vietnam and Thailand. That's our buddy Wally Powers out of Pinehurst, North Carolina. So we might be hearing from him in one of the places like China, Thailand, Vietnam, something like that. Some of the other folks that are tuned in tonight, our buddy Chuck Snitchler, best friend of this radio station out in Hobart, Indiana. Buddy Bobby Danos is listening on his clock radio in Sammich. Yes, Sammich, Illinois. Mary Gold is in Tinley Park. Tracy Douglas is in Savannah, Georgia. Said, we're Eastern time. It's a little late for me, so if I nod off, forgive me, but I'll listen to the podcast for sure.
So are we if we nod off.
Rita Reagy is in Denton, Texas. Scott Cooper's in Naperville. Marie Prudence is listening the old-timey way on her radio. She said, it's tried and true out in Evergreen Park. Sharon Malone is in K-Town. Nancy Hollins is out in Northbrook. Elaine Tranbarger is in Cincinnati, Ohio. And I want to say Cincinnati is checking in for the very first time.
I think you're right.
On a Saturday night. Barry Laskoff and Kathleen are listening in Barrington. Bob Baker is listening on his iPhone. Fred Husar. Nora Brozanski is out in Aurora. Edwin James is in Pingree Grove. We do this every year. Mm-hmm. Where is it? Anyway, we'll learn someday, so you'll have to forgive us, Edwin.
We're not talking about China Grove.
No, we're not. Oh, now, thank you. That's in my head.
And that great guitar riff. Bow, bow.
Yes. Bonnie Pearson's in Gray's Lake. Nancy Nosig's in South Holland. Beverly Goodall is listening on her Sea Crane Radio in Highwood, Illinois. Lynn Kinzer is in Wisconsin. Janet Gellert is in Gainesville, Florida. Looks like Priscilla Gilbert Stegg is in Joliet. I thank you all for tuning in tonight. Joan Smith in Holland, Michigan. Jim Smith on the northwest side of Chicago. Brian Lefevre's in Bridgeport. As I always like to say, thank goodness Chicago's tuned in. Mm-hmm. Ellen Maria's in McHenry. Gene Jacobson is listening in Milwaukee. Diane Vasquez, who is our graphics guru. She made another lovely spring graphic for us. And thank you, Diane. Eric Baum posted another terrific picture from Wells Beach, Maine. It's a sunrise over the beach. Dorothy Orsini is in West Allis, Wisconsin. Peter Jacobowitz in Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin. Carrie Johnson in Palm Coast, Florida. And let's see, Jan Ranhart is in the laboratory. Lydia Watts also tuned in tonight. Southern Illinois, I'm here today, Southern Illinois. Well, good, Southern Illinois. Oh, that's Brian Haig. Thank you for tuning in.
So, and I want to thank a lot of the people who are following us on Blue Sky. And also, people that are following us on our blog, that's steveandjohnny.wordpress.com. And I want to acknowledge some of the people that have been nice enough to check in on our blog. We've had, this week we've got the United States, Poland, Jordan, the United Kingdom.
Really?
Finland, Canada, Brazil, and Australia. Those are just some of the places that people are checking out our blog. So thank you very much for doing that. And again, if you want to check out our blog, it's steveandjohnny.wordpress.com, and you'll find a lot of things there that we don't put on Facebook or other places. But speaking of Facebook, we need to draw your attention for a second. Go to the Steve and Johnny Show. Go to facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show, and you will see that Johnny did some pictures of our drive into the station tonight. And because we're in Florida, no, you're not going to see Lakeshore Drive.
Or the Drake Hotel.
Yeah, you're going to see some of the Florida sites. But also, the first picture you will see is Tom Hoots, who is our executive producer in Florida tonight. And you will see how excited Tom gets over everything we're doing. It's
well, as I said, he's a morning guy. He gets up before sunrise, and so midnight he turns into a pumpkin. And I couldn't resist taking that picture of Tom. And he makes all this possible because he sets up the studio for us and he opens the college for us.
But also, if you go to our Blue Sky page, you will see a picture of Tom and Becca when Tom was still awake.
Well, again, thank you all for tuning in. Real quick, I got to mention Tim Schroka, the dad of the WGN kid.
Yes, Neil
Schroka. He just checked in tonight. Also, Tokyo checked in. And Chris
Chase. And for anybody who doesn't know about the story of the WGN kid, I will give you a very truncated version of this. We were doing a pumpkin fest years ago. We first met this little, how old was he then?
I think he was 14 or 15. Yeah.
And he loved WGN. He shows up and he's got all kinds of WGN caps and clothes and everything else. Mm-hmm. And he was a real fan of the station. We wound up having him on the air. We found out that he was really into computers. He's one of the first people that we knew that was really into Apple products.
Right.
And long story short, he wound up going to, which was the school over in...
He was a Rhodes Scholar.
Yeah, Rhodes Scholar. And he wound up working during the Obama administration.
At the pleasure of the president.
He was the one who set up... Yes. I mean, he went from just this little kid liking WGN and liking computers. And
yes.
And I will never forget the first time we ever heard about texting.
When, and I laughed.
When Neil called us and he said, you know, I can be on one side of the room and I can text you a message.
And remember,
our immediate response was, why wouldn't you just want to talk to me?
He was at an Apple convention, remember? Whatever it's called. And I laughed. I said, oh, well, that's ridiculous. Who wants to text? Why wouldn't you just go tap somebody on the shoulder and say, hey, I'm here? He says, really? Blogging. The first time we used the term blog was with him on the radio. So we got a lot to thank him for.
Well, we're segueing into tech territory, and we're going to do more of that with Patrick Crispin coming up on WGN. Johnny Putman of WGN Radio. And boy, there is a lot of tech stuff to talk about tonight. So
yes.
We want to welcome in from the left coast our Cyber Squad
guru.
He is the Director of Educational Technology, Keck School of Medicine of USC. That would be Dr. Patrick Crispin. Yo, Patrick.
Woohoo! How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great.
Good, good, good.
But before we get into all the other tech stuff, can I do kind of a weird little, partly personal, but it was something I was thinking about earlier tonight. I know that we talk about technology and everybody listening to us is, you know, either using a radio or a phone or a computer or whatever. But I was just thinking about, my pea-sized brain says, it's really kind of fascinating. Most people are listening to us via radio WGN, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And Adam is running the controls in our Chicago studio. We're sitting in a studio in Panama City, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Becca is running the controls to allow Adam to get the signal.
Right.
To put it on the air from WGN Radio Studios in Chicago. Patrick is out on the left coast.
Mm-hmm.
And Patrick, you are in Pasadena, California.
I'm sitting in the beautiful city of Pasadena, sorry. By the way, I'm hearing my voice in my headset.
Oh. Scary, isn't it?
No, it's like a few seconds off.
Well, okay.
That's weird.
The technology is such that I hope it improves as we go along. During a break, we can... I don't know, kick it, Slap it? Isn't that what engineers do?
Okay.
Yay, it's fixed.
That's good.
Good.
Thank you, Adam. But it just, and again, we take all this stuff for granted.
We do, yeah.
But I was just thinking, you know, this is real, when you think about it, this is really cool. We've got, literally, we are spanning the country to do what
coast
we're doing right now.
During a geomagnetic storm, no less.
Yeah.
Which is pretty impressive. And just before the break, Patrick, you may have heard we were talking about back in the days when we had the Cyber Squad on Wednesday nights, and Neil Schroko was our WGN kid, and the first time he introduced me to the whole concept of texting, and I laughed. I thought it was so ridiculous. And then I realized how far we've come. In just, you know, a couple of decades.
And speaking of the Cyber Squad, for people who are longtime listeners, we want to share with you that Johnny and I had an occasion to hook up with one of the original Cyber Squad members, Nick Rotundo, who happened to be in Panama City Beach this week along with his wife, Patricia, because one of their sons, Luke, was pitching in the National
Baseball Championship tournament, and he pitches for U of I. Yeah. So it was really fun to catch up. Again, it didn't seem like it'd been over a decade since we'd gotten together. But Patrick, there's so much to talk about tonight. Should we start with the whole business about Alexa? And D-Day is March 28th for big changes coming to Alexa users?
Yeah, if you were concerned that Alexa was listening to you, Alexa is listening to you, and it's going to get even worse than that. Alexa, by the way, and I should, by the way, I think be spelling it out instead of saying the word Alexa, because if I do, it's sending prompts to your speaker. So let's just say A-L-E-X-A.
Okay.
Sorry about that for everybody at home who's wondering why their speakers are turning back on. When you would talk with Amazon Smart Speaker, it would do all the processing on the device itself. Well, starting on March 28th, each Amazon Echo device is going to stop processing the audio that it records of you on the device. It's actually going to start uploading that audio from your device to Amazon's cloud for processing. Even if you choose to say, nope, I don't want that to happen, there's no opt-out after the 28th. So even if you previously disabled cloud-based processing, you can't turn it off. Amazon's basically saying that it's going to send your recordings up from your Echo device up to its data centers, and it's then going to be deleted as soon as it's been processed by their AI servers. But again, Amazon hasn't had the best of history when it comes to, well, keeping your information private when it comes to what's listening with their smart speakers. Back in August of 2018, Amazon got in trouble for sending about 1,700 audio recordings to a stranger through human error. They've paid millions of dollars in civil penalties over the revelation that it stored recordings of children's interaction. It's just really bad. So why are they doing this? Why are they kind of making it so when you talk to your speaker, it's no longer going to be processed on the speaker itself? It's going to go up to the cloud. Two letters, AI. Amazon really wants to lean heavily into AI, and they are rolling out something called Alexa Plus. Now, if you are an Amazon Prime member, you already signed up for it. Or if you aren't a Prime member, you can actually sign up for this thing for an extra $20 a month. It's $19.99. Although that would be stupid to do that because Prime is $14.99 a month. So why would you pay $5 more for less? But you do you. Basically, what they're trying to do is they're trying to compete with ChatGPT and all the other different voice modes that are out there. And it's going to take the Amazon Alexa service and kind of give it personality, give it context, have it remember you, remember your past conversations, remember all the different voices that speak to it. If you choose not to save your recordings, Voice ID, which is what they have on the new Echo devices that's going to personalize responses just won't work. But the idea of this is that your smart speaker, sort of like you could do in the past, but it's going to be so much better in the future, where you can connect to hundreds of different programs to get things done. So you'll be able to talk to your Amazon Alexa speaker and say, hey, can you go make a reservation for me on OpenTable, and it will do it for you? Or can you order a pizza for me from Domino's? Or, hey, I need to get to the airport. Can you get me an Uber? Or, hey, give me the latest Reuters news, and it would be able to do this. So the big thing is, go ahead.
No, so it's going to try to better understand us so it could be more respondent to us, correct? Am I following you there?
That's it. Well, it's just basically more pluses and pluses for you and me.
At any point, will a real human be listening to what I've said to Alexa?
And the answer is very likely yes. And it's not something that you're going to see in the terms of service, but it's usually when you are uploading things to these services, there's going to be training that's going on, and it's a possibility that something you say could be listened to by an engineer to say, okay, this is what we thought you said. This is what you actually did say. And it's going to be grading the performance. I don't think it's going to happen all the time, but it's one of those things where they could do a system check to say, okay, did you actually say what we thought you said? And did we give you what you were looking for? So as part of quality assurance, yeah, somebody could technically hear this, not just an AI.
But it isn't one of the key questions here. Is Alexa only going to be paying attention to the commands you give it, or is Alexa also going to be paying attention to everything you're doing throughout your home? Every conversation you're having, interaction.
Having a party in your living room where she's sitting.
Or a very personal conversation with someone.
It's going to be listening on the device for the keyword, which is the name Alexa.
Oh, okay.
And when you say that word, it then will start recording what you say and immediately sending that up to the AI servers and Amazon to process your information.
So how long does it keep recording?
A few seconds. It's really until you kind of stop talking. So eventually you could have a pretty long conversation with your Amazon Echo device where it says, hey, I need you to go do this. By the way, I don't want you to think about doing this. And if while you're at it, do this and do this and do this, like a conversation you'd have with an assistant. And that really is kind of the big goal, is they want to make an AI assistant for us beyond what you could do with your current Alexa speaker.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay, we're going to take a break, but a listener wants to know, if you speak another language in your home, will Alexa be able to do the very same thing? So we'll come back and talk about that. We've got a lot more tech to cover with Patrick Crispin here on WGN.
I love this. King and Johnny Putman of WGN Radio. Yeah, they don't write them like that anymore.
Yeah, you're going to be real hungry when you get home and you can't find a thing for a snack. I have my ways.
AC/DC, cyberspace, I love that.
I have my ways of getting back at you. Okay,
who's driving you home?
Well, good point. And it's really dark out there, too, so yeah. Okay, never mind. We are talking with Dr. Patrick Crispin, doing our tech segment with him, talking about the changes coming to Alexa. We're spelling it out so it does not activate your systems at home. Patrick, that happens on March 28th, correct?
That's correct.
All right, couple good questions coming in. If I speak anything other than English in my home, will Alexa behave the same way?
Yes, but with some caveats. Mm-hmm. Alexa, oh, sorry, I said the word. Ignore me, Alexa. Alexa has supported multiple languages for years. We are thinking that Alexa Plus is going to continue that. So expect it to work with English, Spanish, German, French, Italian, Japanese, Portuguese, Hindi, and others. However, Alexa Plus, the full AI capabilities, which is basically their ChatGPT style memory, personality, contextual understanding, that's only going to be rolling out in English only at first, and particularly just in the U.S. So Amazon hasn't confirmed that they're going to do multilingual support for Alexa Plus, but they're going to absolutely guarantee. If you want to, you can open up the app that you use to get into Alexa, go to devices, click your device, and click on language. And by the way, if you are in a bilingual household, remember that Alexa has multilingual modes, so you can have English and Spanish, and it will tell the device to understand both, and you can do that right now.
Hmm. Okay. Deanna at a 630 area code said, wouldn't Amazon have a massive bandwidth problem sending all those voice clips to the sky? And wouldn't it also use up homeowners' bandwidth and or internet allocations?
Good question.
The clips aren't terribly big. Amazon has tremendous server capacity, so they can handle it. But yes, it is going to be a lot of traffic going to them. I don't think you're going to notice it, because it's only when you activate the device and say the keyword, the trigger word, that it's actually going to start doing the recording and sending it up. And even then, it's a low bandwidth recording.
All right. Another good question on the subject of Alexa. Is it true if my device is close to a window, it makes me more vulnerable to possible intruders outside the home?
No, I can't understand why that
would that be? Work?
I don't know.
I mean, it could be listening to somebody outside and having it play,
reacting.
You know, never gonna give you up. But you can get Rickrolled. But
so is the assumption that if Alexa is close to the window, that the bad guy outside could say, Alexa, open the door?
I don't know.
It could if you trained it to do that. But again, it would actually recognize your voice as we effectively go with the new version, which is going to have sort of voice prints and remember who it's talking to. So, yeah, I wouldn't be concerned about that.
Because we've got enough to be concerned about. Yeah. We don't need to heap anything else on us, right? Because, again, let's clarify, as of March 28th, you really don't have any way to opt out of this change with Alexa, correct?
There is no opt-out. Even if you previously disabled cloud-based processing starts, because they are going to start rolling out Alexa Plus. And
The dumbest of questions, but is there anything you can use that will not be communicating with Alexa?
You can put it in a box and not use it again, but
yes. Don't buy one.
And again, you could use Google has their Google Home devices, but that's going up. If you use Siri, well, first of all, why? But that part of it's on your device, but there really isn't a very safe way to say, just do it on the device and don't go and connect to anything else and just do it there. Because, again, you really want the interaction and integration with other systems. I think there's a positive thing. I think this Alexa Plus is going to be kind of cool, but it's a scary transition from everything being done on the device to now everything being done on Amazon Web Service.
Yeah, and I recently read, I think it was a CNET survey that said 75% of us, our main concern when it comes to technology is privacy.
Right.
So I think after this story becomes bigger news as we get closer to March 28th, that's probably going to bump up to like 90% of us are going to go, I'm not sure I like this idea, or I'm not sure this is a good, we're going in the right direction. But the bottom line is, as I understand what you said at the outset, they want to make this more usable for you, the owner of Alexa.
That's right. It's
that's all they're
going to
pitch
it. ChatGPT. Yes.
Yeah, ChatGPT. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Wow.
Okay.
We've got one in the box we've never taken out of the box, which I know, Patrick, you do not find unusual when we say that. And maybe it's just going to stay in the box. Or maybe we'll give it to a friend and say, hey, you might need this.
And to those of you that don't know our history of leaving technology in the box, the first computer we got, which was back about what year?
It was 25 years ago.
More than that. We were watching Shoppers Network, and they had this. We had never used a computer, and they had this great sale. And at that time, we called our news director, Tom Peterson, told him about this, and he said, "Yeah, that looks like a great one." We got this computer.
We should have known though, because it cost $666.
Yes.
It was Satan.
666, and it is to this day the most confounding owner's manual I've ever seen.
And it's still
it took literally weeks to try and get it to the point that it was communicating DOS. And at that point, I think we were getting close to Windows 3.1 coming out. And I said, please, can we go away from this?
And we kept it in the box, and we put a doily on it and a lamp, and we just used it.
Yeah.
And it made it functional. So that's where Alexa, A-L-E-X-A, will remain. Okay. Other stuff we need to talk about, Patrick. And again, this is going to come up in conversation the next time you're on the show, because that will be reality when you join us next in April. Correct, Patrick?
That is correct.
All right.
Before we take a break, but staying with the thread of technology supposedly paying attention to us.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook, earlier this week. Now, your politics are whatever your politics are. That's fine. Mine are not as conservative as some. For whatever reason, Facebook, and I showed you, and
yes,
it was 17 posts in a row. No, not in a row, but over the period of about an hour, 17 posts that popped up on my Facebook feed for conservative...
Extreme
conservative...
Sites. Pages.
And they kept saying, based on your browsing, blah, 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 blah. No, I'm sorry. I never... Facebook...
You were screaming at the laptop, no, I've never gone there.
And I kept blocking every single one
yes
of them, and it took about 3 days before they stopped sending me that stuff.
Very weird.
So,
because it had nothing, it literally had nothing to do with your search
history. And
again,
you know, if you're conservative, you know, fine. Point is, I wasn't, and it was saying, based on your... And what we see you doing, this is what we think should pop up in your feed. No.
I don't think there's any way to shut that down other than being proactive.
Yeah.
You see it, and you block it.
Or going to Blue Sky.
Well, that's true, too.
Instead of Facebook.
Yes.
So there's that.
We are going to take a quick break and come back. We got more ground to cover on the subject of technology with Dr. Patrick Crispin here on WGN.
I've been hacked again. I've been compromised. My laptop's got a virus. Now I've got a cold. I got many friends in Nigeria. I got a girl in Belarus. They say, send me your credit card numbers and everything will be cool. I've been hacked again. I've been compromised. My laptop's caught a virus. And now I've got a cold. I got firewalls and passwords. I got usernames and codes.
my laptop got a virus. Now I got a cold. We'll stand to man my
Steve King and Johnny Putman of WGN Radio. We're talking with Dr. Patrick Crispin. Before we get into this week in hacking.
Yes, Patrick, you have some insights to share on what Steve experienced with his Facebook page, correct?
Yeah, two thoughts came to mind. First was that Facebook has an algorithm, and it's based on engagement, not necessarily what you like. So they're trying to get you to engage with the platform more and more, because that's how they get you to stay on the platform and sell more ads. So this could be that it saw things that are maybe followers that had posted or whatever, and it decided that it was just going to promote those up and to get you to spend more time on Facebook. That could be option number one.
Okay, let me reply to option number one. Dear option number one, this is causing me to spend less time on Facebook. And two, then don't tell me, based on your we see you doing, we think you would like this. No.
You're lying.
Stop that. And
this is where option two comes in, which is, and you're not going to like this, but there is a common thing that's done called A-B testing, where you take a group of people and you show one group of people A and another group of people B, and you measure their reactions. Facebook is regularly running A-B experiments all the time to try to, again, get you to be engaged. It's possible that you were a guinea pig in an experiment that Facebook was running to say, hey, what would happen if we displayed liberal stuff on a conservative posters thing, or conservative stuff on a liberal posters? Let's see if we can stir up the pot and get them to be engaged. So it could have just been an experiment.
To that end, and to the end of what Facebook does all the time, there's a great book, and I'm forgetting the title of it. We just got it this week. It is written by a woman who worked for Facebook for several years, and she's talking about her experience. Initially, she was very enchanted by Facebook, by Zuckerberg, and by everything, and she wanted to be a part of this. And over the years, and I want to say she was with Facebook for about 10 years.
And she's a good writer, too.
And she said, no, this is awful. And the things that she has to say about Zuckerberg, and she's giving personal experiences.
It's a tell-all. Yeah, the book is called Careless People, A Cautionary Tale of Power, Greed, and Lost Idealism.
Fascinating book from what I'm reading so far.
She's a really good writer, too. And back to the business of Facebook getting a reaction, isn't it true, Patrick, that any reaction is deemed as positive? I'm seeing quite often, I follow a lot of cooking influencers, and they do ridiculous things, like they'll have whipped cream in the oven, and the oven is supposedly on. But that's to get us to react and say, well, that's so stupid. Why are you doing this? And every time somebody responds to them, doesn't that translate to dollars for them? Am I correct, Patrick?
It does. It's you are measured not only in eyeballs, but the engagement and the people talking back and forth, and you can sort of juice your numbers by doing stupid things.
And finally, I caught on to that because I was going, "What? How do you have a cooking show? You're so stupid." Then I was like, oh, that's what you want me to do. So that I go right to my phone and go, this is dumb. And they're going, thank you, ching ching.
Cha-ching.
Yes. Okay, before we move on, real quick, you had touched on Siri briefly. And Jim from Richmond, Wisconsin said he has a question about Apple changing his email after a recent software update. And now Siri can't read his emails. He's visually impaired, so he relies heavily on Siri. And he's wondering if there's a way to revert his email so that he can use it the way he did before.
You may need to go and talk to the Genius Bar at the Apple Store to be able to assist you with this. There might be a way to roll it back. Apple's doing some sort of tweaking on Siri right now. Are we allowed to say Siri? I don't know if that's a trigger as well. But it's a hot mess right now over at Apple with this. they did released some updates recently. It could have been that they accidentally broke the integration between Siri and your email. So I would check with the Genius Bar.
Yes, but it's not a done deal. There might be might be hope for you, especially if this is something you really have become to the point where you rely on it. And I understand completely. And I'm glad you checked in with that question tonight.
Okay, we should segue to this week in hacking.
Yeah, this is happening so often. There's a company called DISA Global Solutions, and they're a company that conducts background checks for about 55,000 employers. And they announced that between February 9th, 2024 and April 22nd, 2024, somebody broke into their system and stole the records for about 3.3 million individuals. So you're going, okay, well, I mean, what sort of information could be included in this? Well, it turns out it's social security numbers, medical records, financial account information, credit card and debit card numbers, and other government-issued documents. Fun. How do you know if you've been impacted? Well, as of February 21st, DISA, D-I-S-A, by the way, they've been notifying customers who have been affected by the breach and offering them 12 months in experiences, Identity Works identity monitoring service. And then if you just search for DISA, D-I-S-A, you can find out if you're in this breach. If you are, you can then go to Identity Works and you'll get the activation code that DISA gives you. You do have to sign up by June 30th. What else can you do to protect yourself from hacks like this? Well, assume that your data is out there. It's been breached so many times. What you need to do is contact the three major credit reporting agencies, Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion, and freeze your credit.
And let me underscore this, because Johnny and I did this, and don't rely on that there are any of a number of companies that say, oh, we'll do this for you. No, do it yourself. And in the case of what Johnny and I were dealing with, we wound up having to, each of us had to go.
As a couple and individually, we had to do that.
So basically, instead of three, it was nine, because as a couple and each of us individually go to each. You got to jump through a few hoops, but it is well worth doing. And if you need to unfreeze, as we did
recently,
a couple weeks ago, literally, they sent a text. We verified it, unfrozen for a short period of time.
We verified it with a copy of my driver's license and then a selfie to see if it matched the picture of my driver's license. Yeah. And then they unfroze it for this transaction to happen. And then it was frozen. I notified them, go ahead and refreeze it. So you can do that. It's not that complicated.
Yeah. So don't worry about if suddenly you need to make a purchase. Make the purchase. You can do it.
And Patrick, it's safe to say, too, that this does not affect your credit score in any way, shape, or form, correct?
Freezing does not affect your credit score. You should do it just to protect yourself.
Yes. Yes. Wow. Can I just take you, you touch on it briefly in your notes for tonight's show about Social Security. A lot of folks have never gone to their account on Social Security. Are you in favor of downloading all of your data so that you have a hard copy of it?
I'm not sure you need to do that, but I do think you need to self-lock your SSN on E-Verify. And what that does is it makes sure that no one else can use it, or preventing other people from submitting your number to another employment agency or signing up for disability or anything else using your Social Security number. So if you self-lock it, you really are going to be much more protected. You can actually just go to the My Social Security website and set that up. I do recommend you do that.
And I was just reading something within the past 24 hours that even if you have an account, if you haven't been to the website in a while, you will probably need to re-register to get in there because they have changed a number of things. So, but I would err on the side of being conservative, yet do it, download, lock it, do all that stuff.
do everything you can to protect your data and your information. Patrick, do we need to take a moment and talk about this click fix? This is something that you address in your notes.
Yeah,
it sounds kind of scary.
This is actually a really interesting social engineering scam. And you have to know a little bit about Windows, and we'll tell you about it when we get back, because it's like, oh, this is clever. This is really clever how they do this. And it's getting you to hurt your computer.
Oh, okay, you got my attention now.
No.
All right, we'll continue for a few minutes. Talking Tech on the Other Side with Dr. Patrick Crispin.
And Patrick, if people want to follow you, how should they do it and where should they do it?
Just go on Blue Sky and look for Patrick Crispin. There I am.
Mm-hmm. All right. Again, okay. We want everybody to try out Blue Sky. It's so far, it's a nice place to be.
Yes,
so far.
So far.
Right.
More coming up. Stay with us on WGN. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're talking tech with Patrick Crispin. He is the Director of Educational Technology, Keck School of Medicine of USC, and a bunch of things to get to yet. We were about to talk about ClickFix. What's going on, Patrick?
We've told you before, be suspicious of pop-ups telling you something's broken on your computer. There is a new malware deployment scheme called ClickFix. And the way it works is that threat actors, the bad guys, log into some commercial website, they break into it, and they install fake plugins. And when you visit the infected website, it shows you, in your browser, a pop-up message saying, your browser's broken. This is terrible, but we're going to help you fix it. We're going to tell you how to fix this and all. Here's what you need to do. Or it could be, by the way, a fake CAPTCHA, those little things where you have to say, click on all the things that are buses.
Right.
Either way, what it does is it says, okay, here's what you need to do to fix the problem. And it's going to display a pop-up message, and it's going to have you go through three steps. Listen to this very carefully, because if you are a Windows user, this should set off alarm bells. First thing it's going to say, okay, step number one, press the Windows button on your computer and the letter R. If you know anything about Windows, that's the run command. That opens up the run window.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, oh, wait a minute, you're having me run something? What the browser is doing behind the scenes is it's actually copied into your clipboard a command. So they say step number two, just to prove that you're a human being, or to fix your computer, press Control and V. Control V is paste.
Right.
So what it's doing is it's saying press the Windows R to prove that you're a human, but it's actually opening up the run command.
And press then paste Control our command
v,
into this.
Paste our command into it, and that which you don't see because you didn't see it in the background, and pressing Enter. And what this does is it tricks you into downloading and running malware on your machine without your web browser, without you manually downloading anything, without even double-clicking a file to execute it.
Mm.
And this has been used a lot to impersonate Google Chrome, Facebook, PDF Simplify, reCAPTCHA, and it's a big thing. So key takeaway here, ClickFix is tricking you into running malware with a keyboard shortcut. No downward lead needed, download, no antivirus alert. If you see a pop-up on your browser telling you that your browser is broken, it's not. Ignore it. Just be aware. This is, it's clever having Windows R and Control V. It's like, oh, okay, that's clever. But you got to be careful if you're a Windows user. Don't trust
it's creepy.
Pop-up Windows. It really
it's really creepy.
And if you've glazed over at any of this, don't worry, because we will be posting Patrick's show notes on our blog, and that's steveandjohnny, steveandjohnnie.wordpress.com. And we will post Patrick's show notes explaining everything that we've talked about with Patrick tonight.
But let me hold you on this click fix for just a moment, because it is really creepy. So I'm on Facebook. Would, if they were after me, would I just get a pop-up? for example, right there on the screen that says you need to take some action?
Not in Facebook, because this is the bad people have broken into some major website. It could be like bobswindows.com, but not Facebook. You don't have to worry about Facebook because Facebook is secure. But this is where it's some website that has been impacted.
Huh. That's so, again, if you get a pop-up, just back away. Don't take any action regarding that pop-up. Can you make it go away without taking any?
Yeah, just go to a different website. Just realize this is not real. I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
But anything tells you to hit the Windows button and R?
No, don't
run. No, run away.
Run away. Yes, R means run away. Do not take any action.
We also wanted to talk about what is going on with Google. They're ditching what?
We talked about two-factor authentication and how you need to have it turned on all the time. For the longest time, Google, and especially Gmail, has been sending their second-factor authentication through text messages. Mm-hmm. Text messages are incredibly insecure. They're not encrypted. They can be intercepted along the way. Or worse, there's something called SIM spoofing, where somebody goes and contacts your mobile provider, pretends to be you. They take some of your leaked personal information to maybe answer security questions, and then say, hey, I've got a new phone. Can you move my number over to this new device? And once they do, they become you. They take everything, and any text message you receive no longer goes to you. It goes to the bad guy. So SMS, text messaging, terrible way to do as a second factor. So Google is in the process of transitioning away from text-based two-factor authentication to a QR code for Gmail. What will happen in the future is when you try to log into Gmail from a new device, it's going to show a QR code on your computer screen. You'll have to open up your mobile device, take a picture of that, or activate it. There, by the way, if you don't want to do that, you can still do YubiKeys, you can do a Google Authenticator, physical security keys. This is just another way, but they're going to stop sending text messages. We don't have an ETA for this, but just be aware. Google is getting out of this. This is a fantastic thing to do. They couldn't do this soon enough for me.
Yeah.
So don't grumble when it happens. This is a good thing out of a world of really bad stuff that can happen. Yes.
And again, for I know a lot of people are still not happy with the idea of two-factor authentication. Yeah, you're jumping through an extra hoop, but boy, do you need to do it.
It's your friend. Yeah. Okay, Patrick, as always, it's good to catch up with you, I think. I'm a little freaked out by some of the stuff we covered tonight, but when we get together again,
bring you bad news.
In a couple weeks, we'll have more insight on this whole business with the change of Alexa, and probably a little more hacking news and all that good stuff. So have a great weekend. Thanks a million, Patrick.
Thank you. Talk to you soon.
Take care.
Coming up, we are going to talk a little bit about basketball, sports between the sheets with Gabe coming up. So stay with us at WGN.
Basketball Jones, I got a basketball Jones, got a basketball Jones, oh baby, ooh.
Steve King and Johnny Bobbin at WGN Radio. Yeah, there's a basketball Jones going on. By the way, I wonder if anybody remembers, anybody other than me, remembers what that song was a parody of.
Oh, I don't know. I know it was a hit record.
I remember it was in the Space Jam movie.
Oh?
Yeah.
Okay, that's true.
It was. But
Cheech and Chong.
Yeah, but it was a parody of a song called Love Jones by The Brighter Side of Darkness, which was a group from the South Side of Chicago.
Okay.
There was a hit in the mid-70s.
We'll have to unearth a little Love Jones.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, Basketball Jones. A little sports between the sheets with newsman Gabe Salgado.
So, Gabe, I have to ask you, have you been paying attention to, and Johnny, forgive me, I'm going to forget the name
of the Rhode Island School?
Yeah. The the student manager for the Rhode Island school.
Have you heard about
Are
him,
you
Dave?
Hip to this?
I've heard some things, haven't fully paid attention, but apparently he's leaving with the head coach to go to another school next season.
To go to North Carolina. Right. He is Amir Khan.
He's all over social media.
He's 22 years old. He is absolutely beloved by the team. He's a chubby, short guy.
He would walk out, as the team is walking out on the court, he's walking out with them. He's got this boombox.
Huge boombox.
And he's rapping along with the music, and they're rapping along with him.
And they're winning.
Yeah.
Now, they didn't win against Purdue on Saturday, and I guess smart money was on Purdue. But they've had an amazing season, and this kid has become so popular that his face is on the socks of all of the cheerleaders on the team.
He's got three major endorsements, too.
Yeah. And you're right, Gabe, he's leaving with one of the players to go with him to North Carolina.
North Carolina State, the head coach, that, at least that's the rumor, hasn't been officially confirmed. That's McNeese University, which actually is in the south somewhere. It's not in Rhode Island. But,
oh, it's not? Oh, okay, because yeah. he's from Louisiana.
Yeah, that I believe that's where the school is located.
Okay.
But their head coach is reportedly going to take the job at North Carolina State next season. They haven't confirmed it, but I was reading that's like one of like the big feel-good stories of the tournament. I haven't read too much into it, but you know, sounds like a fun guy to be around.
Absolutely. Again, if you look at him, you're saying he's the most unlikely kid to be hanging with the basketball team because he's about 5'3" and he's about as round as he is tall.
And they all love him.
Oh, they adore him. Yes, it's a great story.
So what has been tripping your trigger with March Madness?
Well, one of my Final Four picks has already been eliminated. That was St. John's
when
they lost to Arkansas. Now, I will give Arkansas credit. First of all, they have one of the best coaches in John Calipari. And he's, you know, pretty much doing what he's done at every other school he's been to, turning him into a powerhouse program. They knocked off Kansas on Thursday, which Kansas is one of my Sweet 16 picks this year. So, obviously, it's par for the course. John Calipari still has it. So, they knocked off St. John's. I had them in the Final Four this year. But today's the big one. Illinois against Kentucky with a trip to the Sweet 16 on the line. Illinois hasn't been to the Sweet 16 since 2024, and that was when they went to the Elite Eight and lost to Connecticut, who eventually won the national title that year. Illinois hasn't been to the Final Four since 2005. But, you know, Kentucky is going to be, you know, a tough game for them. Illini fans are going to hate me for this, but I don't see Illinois winning this game. It's going to be a tough out for them, but certainly I do expect it to be a close and competitive game. But if Illinois were to win, you know, that would be huge for the program. You know, as we all know, local college basketball performing well is a rarity here in Chicago. So
yeah,
it'll be nice to see Illinois get a win and survive in advance, as they say. So that's going to be the big one.
And did you say it's been 20 years since they went to the Sweet 16?
20 years since they went to the Final Four.
That Final was when Four.
They made it all the way to the national title game and then just ran into North Carolina Tar Heels.
Wow.
But they made it to the Sweet 16 last year. They actually made it all the way to the Elite Eight last year. So, but again, back-to-back Sweet 16 trips is on the line if Illinois can win later today.
Any surprises?
As far as surprises go, I mean, obviously, you know, one of my Final Four picks that's always a surprise in my book. You know, in all honesty, I mean, really, there. I have to go back and look at some of these scores. I know there was a couple out here that, I'm looking at the scores as I'm trying to talk to you here, so I'm trying to go back. I know there was a couple of I know there was at least one upset in here somewhere. I'm just trying to find it on the scoreboard. But you know, every year there's always, you know, those Cinderella teams that come out and
I love the terminology, you know, the Cinderella team and the Sweet 16, and I'm like, there's probably wonderful history about how all of that got started.
In fact, McNeese, the team that we were just talking about with the manager, that was the big upset so far, when they knocked off Clemson in the first round.
Oh, that's true.
I had Clemson going all the way to the Elite Eight.
Yeah.
So
that was crazy. Just seeing that very last couple minutes, that was nuts.
So it's a good thing that I didn't do any office pools this year because my bracket's already busted.
That was my next question. Did you get involved in the office pool? Because I know that's very, very important at WGN.
I did not. I thought about it, but I was like, yeah, I don't know if I really want to, you know, spend the money. And then now I'm glad I didn't because I probably wouldn't win anything.
Well, I have to tell you a quick story. A girlfriend, in fact, I'll send you a picture of this. She has three boys and her husband, and the four of them are just gaga over March Madness. And she took her dining room wall, and unbeknownst, they were all gone the day that she did this. And she did brackets on the wall with blue tape, painter's tape. So she just did this beautiful breakdown of you got the brackets running up and down. And then she ran off copies of the names of all the teams, and she cut them out, and she pasted them up on the brackets so you could lift them and move them. It's amazing. This is her dining room. I'm like, you are the best mom ever.
And if I tried that at home, my wife would kill me.
Well, of course she would. Yeah. Most wives would kill you. That's why I'm so impressed with this woman who went through all of this trouble. I mean, she spaced it beautifully where it's just balanced, and you stand back in the dining room and you look at the wall and you're just in awe of the fact that she went to all that trouble. And, of course, her whole family was over the moon. They're like, she can have anything.
I'm a fan of hers now.
I know. Yeah. I got to send you a picture. It is very, very cool. All
right. For a second, I'm going to segue away from basketball. So were you up at 5 in the morning to watch the Cubs over in Japan?
No, I was not. I was sound asleep, very much so. One of those days I had woken up at probably about 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning, try to catch the tail end of the game, but it was already over. So I did not get a chance to catch the games, but unfortunately, you know, the Cubs are 0-2. You know, I'll give them some leeway. It's, you know, first series of the season, and they're playing, you know, the defending champions. So, but, you know, obviously, you know, Cubs fans, I don't blame them for feeling disappointed as they do right now.
But the electricity in that stadium was just crazy.
And the price that was paid for a standing room only ticket was the average was $900 to stand.
Well, when you're bringing in the most recent superstars from Japan that made their way to Major League Baseball, that's guaranteed to sell every time. I mean, Ohtani is probably he would definitely be up there as far as, like, you know, Mount Rushmore of
absolutely
baseball players. So they are very passionate about baseball in Japan. And where they played the game, the Tokyo Dome, that stadium's been up since probably the 70s or 80s it's been around. And every year, there's multiple teams who actually play in that stadium in the Japanese League. So, and from what I understand, they get pretty good attendance there. And I actually wouldn't mind attending a baseball game in Tokyo just to experience it. It's a completely different environment. Because I remember...
I think it'd be incredible.
Yeah.
I remember when the strike happened in 94, and Sports Channel here in Chicago was carrying the Japanese World Series, and Hawk Harrelson was on the call for that. Mm-hmm. And just seeing, like, how there's no silence during the course of any of those games. The fans are always chanting.
They're crazy.
They're into it. There's a lot of energy. Yeah. Whereas, you know, here, you know, like, you know, if you're having a pitcher's duel, you know, you'll start yawning at the game, and you'll just be sitting there waiting for something to happen. But, you know, in Japan, they love every minute of it. So it's amazing to see.
They don't have those out. What are those noisemakers? The zuzus or
ones that they use in soccer?
Oh, those horrible sounding noise. They had enough noisemakers, but they didn't have that thing.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not too sure if they use that for the baseball games. Like I said, I don't think they need them. Fans are just so loud all the time.
Well, we'd also heard that there were buildings, literally buildings, at the side of the building was painted with Ohtani's face. Yeah. And coming up before the end of the show, our last caller this morning is going to be talking to us from Tokyo. A regular listener, Wally Powers, is in Tokyo for business, and he checked in tonight via text, and he said, I'm just walking around Tokyo getting the lay of the land if you want to talk. And I said, sure. So we're going to check in with him in about 25 minutes or so and find out if he's seen Ohtani.
Out there already.
I'm sorry?
It's probably dinner time in Tokyo already.
Yeah, yeah. He sent some pictures. It's beautiful where he's walking around. Very crowded, but beautiful. And coming up, we'll be in the final stretch of the show.
By the way, we should mention, too, that next week we will be starting at 10:30. And in studio with us next week, we're going to have Jack and Jen. We've had them several times when we're down here in Panama City. They've got a new album out called Island of Light, and they're going to be joining us in studio next week.
Good things are happening for them.
So we don't start till 10:30 next week, but the week after that.
Yes.
For those of you that say, we don't want your shows to be interrupted.
Mm-hmm.
Not only is our show not going to be interrupted, but it's going to start at 8:30.
Yes.
So it will be a 5.5-hour show.
Yes. To make up for the truncated programs that have been leading up to that. And then March Madness will be behind us because we will be into April. So stay with us for the final stretch of the show here on WGN.
What's happening, baby? Did you miss me over the weekend? If you did, I'm sorry. But now that I'm here, I don't want to bore you with a long, irrelevant conversation. But you see, darling, I think it's about time for me to get real serious about you. Because if someone was to rip me off you, look out for my actions afterwards, and the way I feel, knowing that you should have been mine all the time. But you see, I not only want you, baby, but I need you. And the need is so strong, it's almost like that of a junkie. In other words, baby, I just got to have you. Listen to me, darling. Please listen to me.
Steve King and Johnny Putman of WGN Radio. That is the song that was the inspiration for Basketball Jones. That was Love Jones by The Brighter Side of Darkness, a group from the south side of Chicago.
A top 20 tune for them,
top 20 tune.
1973?
Roughly 1973. And I love that song for a number of reasons. One of them being, I used that as a theme for a once-a-week bit that I did on Saturday nights.
Mm-hmm.
And I would do it once an hour. And the premise was, if you're going to be out on a date on a Saturday night, and maybe it's a special date, a first date, whatever, and you have something you want to say to that person, but you're not comfortable with saying it, send the letter to me. Tell me where you're going to be, and give me roughly an idea of what time you would like me to do that.
Of course, be listening.
Be listening, of course. And I will read the letter. So
You're playing Love Jones in the background.
Well, Love Jones was the introduction thing,
too.
And I will never forget that there were a lot of fun nights. In fact, a former engineer,
Ben Cortez, one of the first times we met him at WGN Radio, he looked at you and he said, "You read my Love Jones letter," something like 20 years before.
But
and he married the woman, by the way.
He did. But one of the ones that I will never forget, there was this letter from a woman, and it was something she wanted to say to her new husband on their wedding night.
Mm-hmm.
So it was about 1:30 in the morning or something, and I read the letter. And a little bit later, I get this phone call on the studio phone, and it's her. And I knew it was her because she said something that she had written in the letter that she didn't, that I didn't read on the air. And she said, Thank you. I've just had the most wonderful night of my life.
Oh, and she called you to tell you that.
She did.
Ew. Yeah.
And
she had a love, you know, Jones.
I'm imagining their wedding night, and she says to her, excuse me, I have to call the disc jockey now.
Or wait, we have to turn the radio on. You know, that caused you to snort.
It did. Love Jones makes me snort.
Didn't you read a letter for someone that ended up sending you champagne the next week?
No, that was a different thing. That's when I was doing a morning drive at what was then Disco DAI.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlie Finley was the owner.
As in baseball.
As in baseball. He was the owner of the Oakland A's. And he lived in Chicago. And this one morning, we were playing a lot of disco music, and I get this call. And he identifies himself and says, I'm just wrapping up a really interesting night. And could you play something and dedicate it to whoever?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yeah, sure. Because the song was coming up in the rotation anyway. So I played it and I did the dedication. I get off the air. And when I'm leaving the station, before I leave, the receptionist said, oh, here's a package for you. It was a bottle of champagne with a thank you note from Charlie Finley saying, you made my morning.
You know, that's a class act. Come on. I'd hate to see what else you could do for him to make him so happy. Wow. Wow. So a little Love Jones. But that wasn't Love Jones. That was just a dedication.
Yeah.
Some women, I'm not so sure about any of this. So, Love Jones was, to finish that up, that was the song that was parodied for Basketball Jones,
right.
Which was, somebody wanted to know who was that. That was Cheech and Chong.
Cheech and Chong.
And that was also a hit.
And it was also a hit, I want to say about a year, within the year that Love Jones was a hit, Basketball Jones was a hit, and we were playing it on the Once Big 89. And then several years later, it was revised in the movie.
Yeah, Space Jam.
Space Jam,
Do you remember the name, if you can imagine the 45 for Basketball Jones, there was a name other than Cheech and Chong, Tyrone Shoelaces. Do you remember that?
Oh, no, Tyrone...
Shoelaces was supposedly one of the singers, as in... Tie your own shoelaces, but it was Tyrone Shoelaces. I don't know. That's like minutia. Where did that come from? You know, like, how do I remember that? I don't know what I did yesterday.
Well, you remember the important stuff.
That's over 50 years ago.
Yeah, like, so?
Becca's parents weren't even alive then. Our engineer, she's like, yeah, okay, you're right. Okay, we are on the final stretch of the show. A couple people want to know, when is that show going to be that you started at 8:30 at night?
That will be 2 weeks from tonight.
April. It's already April, believe it or not. And apparently because the weather is pretty icky with rain and such, some folks have checked in and said, I'm on the road coming from the Burton Cummings concert tonight. And the rain is keeping us from seeing the Northern Lights that we mentioned earlier tonight. Yeah. I hope that was a good concert. I've always wanted to see him. I've always wanted to see Guess Who.
It's been too long since we interviewed Burton Cummings.
Yes, he's a nice guy, too, and he's got a great story, and he's just solo now, but he does, I mean, he was the voice of the Guess Who, so he does those tunes. So if you're just getting home from that show, I hope it was a good one. You can send us a quick review if you'd like. I want to give a shout-out to a couple of nurses that are listening tonight. You know who you are. I told you, put on your PJs and put your feet up. You've had a long day.
Yes.
And I thought that was sweet because one lives on the north side, one lives on the south side. And they said, I'm so happy I walked in and there were friends on the radio so I could unwind after a really long day.
We're happy to have our friends on the other side of the speaker. And we should remind you again, next week we start at 10:30.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's the week after that that we will start at 8:30.
I said, are you sure? And they said, well, yeah, didn't you?
Becky, you up for that starting at 8:30?
Oh, she won't be here.
Oh, that's right. You'll be at the TV station then.
Yeah, I'll be at the TV station up until like 10:30 or so. So I'll pop in halfway through.
Okay. And real quick, what do you actually do when you're at the TV station?
On weekends, I am the technical director. So basically, I'm punching the board, making sure everything that happens on air looks like it was done on purpose.
Even if it goes south,
that's your job description. I love that.
That's pretty much it.
Make it look real, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, Becca Stark is nice enough to come in here after her full day doing television to play with us on the radio.
So next week, 10:30 start, and we will have Jack and Jen in studio,
right,
with their new album, Island of Light. So we're looking forward to that.
Becca, have you worked with Jack and Jen before?
I have. They were in a couple weeks ago for Tom Hoot's show Sound Sessions for the radio show, and then they immediately followed up with being on Radio Cosmos Live. That's hosted by Mike Thompson, the director for that.
Mm-hmm. They're good.
I love Radio Cosmos.
For
anybody, you should go online, WKGC-FM, listen. And listen live when that's on, and a blatant plug for when that's on.
I don't know. I'm not in charge of the radio portion. I'm in charge of helping
with the television portion,
and that has its own YouTube page. You can go onto on Radio Cosmos Live on YouTube, and all the episodes that we've done.
Are you doing something every week in Radio Cosmos?
That is the goal, yes. Mm-hmm. We've currently got, I believe, 7 episodes for season 4 finished and produced and uploaded. This show's been going on for about 3 years.
You've got an episode with somebody who's going to be joining us in two weeks, Tracy Mick.
Yes. We've already got
wonderful.
We got Jack and Jen, we got Tracy Mick. They're both phenomenal.
Yeah. There's so much talent down here.
Yeah, there really is.
It's nice that there's a show like that where this talent can be highlighted. We're going to take a quick break because we are officially into the final stretch of the show here on WGN. Closing time.
It's that time again. We got to say goodnight. You know it's getting late. Tomorrow is another day, my friend. All right, people. It's time to go home. Yep.
Yep.
Closing time. We're ready to
closing time.
Head on out. So let's go. You don't have to go home.
Yeah, you really kind of do.
Can't stay here.
Mm-mm.
Nope.
You can't stay here.
Can't stay here.
And you can't listen to the rest of that song unless it's our swan song. The last song you'll ever hear is play on the radio.
The song is called Closing Time.
Mm-hmm, by Red Peters.
Mm-hmm. You can look it up on YouTube and you can listen to all of it. But no, you're not going to hear all of it here.
Mm-mm. But if you do, remember.
Becca, don't listen.
Don't listen to
close your ears, Becca.
All right. We typically do our last caller during a segment of the show. But this week we thought it would be fun to revisit a last caller from a while back. He is a listener from Pinehurst, North Carolina. He's Wally Powers. And Wally checks in via text at 312-981-7200 at various times. And this week he checked in to say, I'm going to be traveling in some far-flung places. And tonight he let us know that he is actually in Tokyo. And it's coming up on 4 o'clock in the afternoon in Tokyo. And Wally, welcome to WGN. How are you this afternoon in Tokyo? Hello?
Or not?
Oh. Okay.
Oh, Wally, we hardly knew ye.
Julian, do you have any insight into what is happening on that end? Okay. Well, he checked in and said he's walking around. He just got off a tour bus in Tokyo, and he was taking some notes for us.
Are you with us, Wally?
Hi, Johnny. Hi, Steve. How are you?
Oh, good.
You are. There you are.
Yeah, and you're 14 hours ahead of us now. Is that correct, Wally?
Well, 13 in Florida, but 14 from Chicago, yes. Almost 4 p.m. here on Sunday night.
We're in our part of Florida. We're on the same time zone.
We're in the
central time zone.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
So you said that you're on a tour bus.
Beautiful day.
Are you just a tourist in Tokyo, or are you there for business?
I had meetings here on Monday, and then tomorrow, or strike that, I'm sorry, I had meetings here on Friday, and then tomorrow I fly to Thailand, and I'm going to be in Thailand for about 3 days, and then China for 7 days, and then back to Thailand for 4 days.
Did you say at some point you're going to end up in Vietnam as well?
Well, I was supposed to go to Vietnam. I was supposed to be in Vietnam over this weekend, but there was a visa issue, and my friends at a huge airline based in Chicago did not help me at all.
Really?
I wasn't able to make the trip from Narita to Hanoi, so I stayed here but had a meeting on Friday, and I've got colleagues who are going to handle a meeting tomorrow in Vietnam.
So this is the tough job of being a spy, right?
Right, exactly. I've got neighbors who think I'm in the CIA or a witness protection program of some sort.
I'm not at all surprised at that.
Okay, Wally, I have a kind of an awkward, but I'm going to ask it anyway, question for you, and I don't want to get into politics right now, but you said you had a visa issue. We have heard that there are various countries that are now saying you need to get a specific visa from their country before you are allowed to enter that. Is that the kind of situation you were dealing with?
I don't think that was the problem with Vietnam. The problem was I had submitted my application last weekend, and it should be like a one-day process, and they got back to me and said that my application name and my passport name were different, and I had four colleagues look at it and say there's no difference in the names. And I reapplied on Thursday and just never heard back from them. So it just I think it's somebody in the Vietnam visa review office who just dropped the ball on this.
Yeah.
Well, I also have to ask you, since you are in Japan, was everything baseball nuts there this week?
You know, I actually got in here on Friday morning, and I haven't really seen anything. I did buy some Shohei Ohtani iced tea, his logo on the side of that, and I've seen him on some ads, but honestly, it's not that much. And I've been all over downtown, and I've not seen his image on any buildings down here. I'm looking around again right now. I don't see anything, and it's interesting here in the downtown area. There are very few ads, it seems like, but when I was out near the airports, there's a lot of ads, and he's on a number of ads.
But he's got his own iced tea.
Well, it's his picture on there. It's all in Japanese, so I can't read anything on it. But it's him in his Dodgers uniform with I think he's got a bat that he's swinging, and his image is on the side of the iced tea.
I'm sure he uses that bat to mix the iced tea.
Yeah, to stir his iced tea. I did check on the fact that his image was supposedly on sides of buildings. What they did was they rolled them down. They were material. So they go to the top of the building and they dropped it down, then anchored it so that they could put his face all over Tokyo leading up to game time when the teams got there last weekend getting ready for the games. So that's understandable. They didn't paint his face on the side of buildings.
Right. Yeah, but I don't see any of those now, Johnny. I don't see any of those banners hanging now.
Well, you sent some cool pictures. I mean, it appears like it's not only crowded, but it looks pretty clean when you're walking around Tokyo.
You know what? Honest to goodness, I mean, I was on two different buses just for a tour because I took the train in. I'm staying near the Haneda Airport, and I took the train into the city. Honest to goodness, in the last 6 hours, I have not seen a piece of paper or a wrapper of any kind anywhere in this city. It hit me when we were driving around. I thought, I mean, the streets are also perfect also. It looks like every street was repaved last year. But the streets are wonderful, and it's very, very clean. Very clean.
Had you ever been to Tokyo before this trip?
I've not been to Japan at all. No, I've not been to Japan.
Well, smart idea.
One of my friends worked here last year for a bit, and he also commented that it was very clean, very nice, easy to get around. So, yep.
Were there many Americans on the tourist bus with you?
Very, very few, if any.
Really?
Right now, I mean, I don't. Yeah, and I'm looking around here. I'm in front of the main train station, and I don't see more than about 3 or 4 people who probably could be from the States. At least just my quick look at them. I did see a guy in an what did he have? A Iowa State Cyclones shirt just a little while ago. But and I saw a girl in a Bears jersey in the train station this morning, which was very funny. She was not. I don't think she was from Chicago.
Encounter a fair amount of people who speak English?
You know, Steve, the people here who do speak English kind of speak English, quite honestly. It's not a strong suit for them.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I just went in because I need to take a double train to get back to the airport, and it's two different lines. And I went into an information booth, and the guy just told me, go buy ticket. That was his instruction mm-hmm. to me. My question was exactly where, I know I need to buy a ticket, but I need to make a connection, and I just don't know how to make that connection right now. So help.
Well, it sounds like he speaks a whole lot better English than I would Japanese.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And that was my point, too, Steve. Absolutely. Yes. I appreciate whatever English they do speak because it's much better than my Japanese.
Are you having any problem getting around, though? I mean, like ordering food or getting on the tourist bus?
No issues. The people, I mean, typically the people that you're dealing with, they do speak some English. I mean, like the selling the tickets and a woman on the bus who was just making sure everybody had their seatbelt on and all that stuff. They spoke English fairly well.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, you can obviously get around here without speaking Japanese.
Well, it is fun to catch up with you. Real quick before we wrap up, you listen to us every weekend, and I just want to say thanks for checking in. It's a pleasure to get to know you via text and now talking to you on the radio. Wally, thank you.
Well, I love your show and lots of great information that you have, and it's you guys do a great mix of seriousness but also laughing, and it sounds like you guys have fun doing it, and you have been. I've been listening to you for a long, long time.
Well, thank you.
And so I really, really appreciate the shows and really enjoy them, and it keeps me in touch with Chicago because I moved about 2.5 years ago to North Carolina.
Well, be safe on the road, Wally.
Thanks a lot, Wally. We'll talk to you again, I hope.
Talk to you next week from China.
Okay. Thank you. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
We are rapidly running out of time, but we want to thank everybody who has been so nice to keep us from losing the licenses from either WGN or WKGC. We want to thank Adam Phillips and Gabe Salgado and Julian and Becca for producing, and Tom Hoots, who was in here earlier.
For setting us up.
And I think we just about run out of words?
We have, yes. And thanks to this college, Gulf Coast State College, for letting us use their studios, for opening up the building for us on Saturday night so that we could come in here and do the show.
We'll talk to you again next week. Take care.